You know, there's a three chapters in the Bible that Yahweh mentioned with the word hates. One is in Proverbs 11:5. Yahweh hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. And the other one is Malachi 2:16, which Yahweh hates divorce. And we will start in Proverbs 6:16, and it says, "These six things Yahweh hates, yea, seven are hateful to his soul: high eyes," so that is pride. And what amazing work by Yahweh from the very beginning! This is the word of Yahweh that is giving to us. Every message from the very beginning, from Elder Don and from the brothers that Yahweh is using to deliver the message. It's the same message, it's the same scriptures that he is showing to us. So this shows it's very important, because in Yahweh, once Yahweh do it twice, it's very important. Now it's more than twice. It's always it's repeating and repeating and repeating the scriptures that the brothers are reading, Elder Don is reading. So this shows how much Yahweh despises pride, gossip, and false accusing spirit. High eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that plots evil plans, feet hurrying to mischief, a false witness who breathes lies, and he sending out strife among brothers. So we see that with the word Yahweh hates. No? Yahweh hates divorce, Yahweh hates those thinking about violence and doing evil thoughts to his neighbor, and pride. And in Philippians 2, this is amazing, because it's always in the messages previously, it's always show up this verse, Philippians 2. So then, we start in one. So then, if there's any comfort in Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any mercies, compassions, complete my joy by being in one accord and one love and one soul and one mind, being echad. Doing nothing according to strife of self-glory, but in humility, let each regard his neighbor as better than himself. And let no one be mindful only of his own things, but let each also be mindful of the things of his neighbor. For think this within you, which mind was also in Messiah, who existed in the very form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim, but emptied himself. So that is showing what humility of Yeshua is. Elohim come down to the earth. He removed his position as being Elohim and become man, and doing the perfect will of Yahweh, being a man, taking the image of a servant, having become in the image of the sons of men, and being found in the form like a man, he humbled himself, having become an obedient until death, even the death of torture stake. So wow. For this reason also Elohim highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, on those heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah, the Son, to the glory of his Father. Wow. So I'm amazed, because this is what I'm talking. It's always showing up this verse about Yeshua's humility. So I believe this is very important message about removing pride for the unity in the body. We are all guilty of this pride that is in us, because it's human nature. But now Yahweh is showing us, this is Yahweh wants us to learn in this wilderness journey to remove pride and to have a unity in the body. Proverbs 29:23 says that the pride of man brings him low, but the humble of spirit takes hold of honor. And we remember the very first king in Israel, which is Saul, in 1 Samuel 13:13. We will not go there, but Saul acted foolishly, and the tribe of Benjamin lost out on the kingly line only because of pride and unrepentant heart of Saul, because once there is a pride, it's always the man always thinks that what he is doing is right in his own eyes, but not in the eyes of Yahweh. It's always what is the good thing in the eyes of Yahweh, not in man. So that is the downfall of Saul, King Saul, that time that he lost the kingdom. In Isaiah 2, let's read Isaiah 2, because this tells us that we don't have anything to be proud of. We are nothing, and Yahweh is great. And pride and sin, as you can remember yesterday, the devil, he is the first example of given by Yahweh a great position as third in rank in Yahweh, and then he wants more, he wants the thing that Yahweh did not give him. So that is his downfall, and he has that pride. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones. Be distressed and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy into shame. Be humble before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He that speaks against a brother and is judging a brother, he speaks against the Torah and judges the Torah. But if you judge the Torah, you are not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. For there is one lawgiver who is able to see and destroy. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, those saying today or tomorrow we will go into the city and we will spend 1 year there and will trade and prosper, who do not know that will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? For it is vapor, which appears for a little while and then it disappears. Instead you say, if Yahweh wills. But we will say, if Yahweh wills, if not Shabbat, if not a feast of Yahweh, we will say Yahweh willing. But if it's Shabbat, it's the will of Yahweh. We need to go there. We are commanded to have a holy convocation every Shabbat, a holy gathering and a feast. But other than that, everything that we should do, aside from Yahweh's commandment, that is, we say Yahweh willing. But now you boast in your presumptions. All such pride is evil. Presumption, sometimes false presumptions. Therefore, to anyone knowing to do good and not doing it, it is a sin to him. So we see, that shows that if pride is present, there is conflicts, fightings, covetousness. In short, there's always a sin brought by pride. That's why we need to remove pride for the unity in the body. And also, we'll not go there, but Psalm 36 says that it's the Psalm of King David, shows that the humble who fear Yahweh will be redeemed and saved by his salvation, by Yeshua. But the prideful will be punished. And the same thing in the Proverbs 1:23-33, the same thing. Whereas the fool is not willing to take instruction and only relies on his own pride, the humble of heart who trust in Yahweh as their refuge will always be protected. So, yeah, for us, because Yahweh is showing us now the importance of removing pride for the unity, we need to humble ourselves before Yahweh and receive the great blessing of it, rather than to be punished because of pride. So we know from the scripture that Yahweh hates the prideful, and Yahweh sets himself. Wow, can you imagine? Sets himself. Yahweh is against you if you have this pride. Sets himself against proud ones. Can you imagine? Who can be? It's the opposite. If Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? It's the opposite of in 2 Samuel that it says, if a man sins against man, Yahweh will be the one to judge. But if a man sins against Yahweh, who shall pray for him? So it is fearful to fall on the hands of the living Elohim by not hearing his words. Number 16 example. Number 16, this is what happened. Example of being prideful of Korach and others against Yahweh's servant Moshe and Aaron. And what happened? We see the consequences when Yahweh's judicial order is challenged. And Yahweh's mercy is unending, but only when there is a repentance heart, or a true repentance. That is gateway number two to enter Yahweh's kingdom. And gateway number three is humility to change. So without humility, you are not accepting that you are wrong. You are not accepting that you have right. If you don't have humility. So we need humility to change. This is what Yahweh is showing us here in the wilderness. Number 16, we'll read this. And Korach, the son of Izhar, and the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, took also Datan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, and Un, the son of Pelet, the son of Reuben, and they rose up before Moshe with the certain sons of Israel, 250 rulers of the congregation, elect men of the assembly, men of name, and they were assembled against Moshe and against Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much for all the congregation. All of them are holy, and Yahweh is among them. Why didn't you lift up yourselves above the assembly of Yahweh?" And Moshe heard and fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and to all his company, and saying, "In the morning, Yahweh will know who are his, and him who is holy, and shall cause him to come near him, even him whom he may choose. He will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take four pans for yourselves, Korah, and all his company, and put fire in them, and put incense on the before Yahweh. Tomorrow it shall be, the man whom Yahweh chooses, he shall be the holy one. You take too much, sons of Levi." And Moshe said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, it is too little thing to you that Elohim is of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them. Yea, he has brought you near, and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you. And will you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company that have gathered against Yahweh, what is Aaron that you murmur against him?" And Moshe sent to call for Datan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and said, "We will not come up." Now, the word murmuring, that is the key. That is... we know in the wilderness, the murmurings of these people against Yahweh is one thing that Yahweh hates also, aside from pride, aside from rebellious spirit, the murmurings. "It is a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land of flowing with milk and honey. You also this dominion over us. Yea, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance in the fields and vineyards. Will you put the eyes of these men? We will not come up. We will not come up. They will not hear. They will not follow judicial order. They will not follow what is the direction of these leaders, set apart leaders." And Moshe was very angry and said to Yahweh, this is what I always told to the brethren, that be careful that the ordained elders of Yahweh not be angry, because you're not helping them. You're helping them to be away instead of making them strong, making them encouraged, making them... focus on the works that Yahweh has given them. But because you're not helping if you are just making the leaders angry. "Do not respect their offering," Moshe said to Yahweh. "I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I done evil to one of them." And Moshe said to Korach, "You all and all your company, you be there before, you and they and Aharon tomorrow. And each one take his firepan, and you shall put incense on them and shall offer before Yahweh each his firepan. 250 firepans, even you and Aharon in each firepan. And they each took his firepan and put fire on them and lay incense on them. And they stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moshe and with Aharon. And Korach assembled all the congregation against them, the door of the tent of meeting. And the glory of Yahweh was seen by all the congregation. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, separate yourselves from the midst of this company, and I will destroy them or consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. They said, O Elohim of the spirits of flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be angry with all the congregation? And wow, good thing is Yahweh knows already Moshe, that he has this heart, a leader's heart, a father's heart, that whatever it is that has done to him, he will always pray to Yahweh for the mercy of Yahweh. And we see, again, the consequences when Yahweh's judicial order is challenged. Again, Yahweh is merciful. Yahweh's mercy is unending, but only when there is a repentance and not when there is a prideful, hardened heart of rebellion. And we'll stop there. But we know what happened. Instead of what Yahweh show us in Revelation 12, that the woman helped by the earth when the dragon spewed in water, the woman is helped by the earth, that the earth swallowed the water. But this time in the situation of Korah, they are swallowed alive by the earth, opposite of what happened to a woman in the wilderness. So we'll continue. So we need to remove pride for the unity in the body. And also in Numbers 20, even Moshe the servant of Yahweh, when pridefully struck the rock in defiance of Yahweh's command, his pride causes him low self-control and lack of judgment and cause him entrance into the promised land. He made Yahweh angry with him by that. So we know it's pride. That's why I always say that we are family of Yahweh. We should be looking to help our leaders, our elders, not to be angry with us, not to be angry at what we are doing, because we're not helping them if we do. Making them angry. Deuteronomy 8:1-17 also, that is the prideful, blinded thought of the Laodicean that thinks his own might got him all he has acquired and doesn't realize his pathetic spiritual state. That is in Revelation 14 also. Maybe we will read Deuteronomy 1 or Deuteronomy 8:1-17. You shall be watchful to every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may live and may multiply and may go in, possess the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has caused you to go these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to try you, to know that which is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. So again, the wilderness was simply a test of faith and obedience. And here we are, the same wilderness. And our lesson, latest lesson 27, is the wilderness. And he has humbled you and caused you to hunger, right? That is our experience during Yom Kippur, to humble down ourselves. And caused you to eat manna, praise Yahweh. We experience manna here, literally. Because man is, what is this? I experienced in our room. What is this? A lot of food. Which you had not known. Yeah, we did not know there's a food there. And your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone. But this is it. I do believe this is the nourishment in the wilderness. Not only physical nourishment, but spiritual nourishment. In order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Wow, we are full of, we are so much full of this blessing, not just physically, but spiritually, from the first day of this feast. And this is what Yahweh wants us, to rejoice, to enjoy his mercy, his blessings. Your clothing did not wear out on you and your face, and to fear him. For Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a good land, a land streams of water, a fountains of depths, and springs out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without want, you shall not lack anything in it, praise Yahweh, a land whose stones are iron, and you shall dig copper out of its mountains. And you shall eat and be satisfied. Right? It is also a command, be satisfied. You shall eat and be satisfied. And you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim in the good land which he has given you. Take it to yourself, blessed. You forget Yahweh your Elohim so not to keep his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, that when you have eaten, are satisfied, and have built goodly houses, and have lived in them. And when your herds and your flock multiply, and your silver and your gold have multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then it rises up in your heart, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, of those of a house of slaves, who led you through the great dreadful wilderness with burning serpents, scorpions, and thirsty grounds, where no water is, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who made you eat manna in the wilderness, which your fathers did not know, and he might humble you, and that he might prove you to do to you good at your latter end. Wow! To do to you good instead of the other way. Praise Yahweh. But you shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth. It's Yahweh, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers at its east today. And it shall be, if you shall forget Yahweh your Elohim, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today, that you shall utterly perish. As the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you did not listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. So, we gotta be careful listening to every messages, every sermons that Yahweh is giving to us here in the wilderness. And also in 1 Kings 19, we will not go there, but 18 says, we see there that the same thing in the congregation, when someone is believing that he is the only one doing the will of Yahweh and totally obeying Yahweh's proper judicial order, but in their own actions, it's evident that they have their own agenda or own decisions. The worst part is that they believe that it's the will of Yahweh, but it's not. They only follow themselves and say that they properly observe Yahweh's judicial order. They are not able to see their own pride, just like the Laodicean, because they believe that they are spiritually superior, and they refuse to take any correction and will not repent. Many times, a prideful person will think that they are the only one serving Yahweh. They think that they are the only one doing good to their neighbor, when in reality, Yahweh always has others to replace someone who is not fit for their position. That's why Elijah, when Yahweh saw him, that after what he did, he is staying and not doing his job, Yahweh replaced him with Elisha. So we learn from this, Elijah is a great prophet, right? He's a great man choose by Yahweh, but it's also a pride when you are just thinking, after Yahweh guided you how to do this, how to do that, you forget that it's Yahweh the one who guided you to do good things. It's not your own mind, not your own strength to do good. Because we are, from Genesis, our thoughts is always evil. But this time, Yahweh wants us to remove pride in our lives for the unity in the body. And it says that it's quite humbling, you know, that to think this prophet of Yahweh Elijah has this. Let's go to Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Elohim, you will not despise. So we see. And then Isaiah 57:15. It says Isaiah 57. For I will not contend forever, nor will always be angry. For the spirit would faint before me, even the breaths I have made. For 15, for so says the high lofty ones who inhabit eternity, His name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, even with the contrite and humble of spirit, to make live the spirit of humble and to make live the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66, it's the same. Yahweh is looking for a humble and obedient and loyal to Him. This is why we need to remove pride for us to be in Yahweh's kingdom. That is the number three gateway, humility to change, opposite of pride. So, Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. So says Yahweh, heaven is my throne, and earth the footstool of my feet. Where then is the house that you built for me? And where then is the place of my rest? And my hand has made all these things, even all these things exist, declares Yahweh. Even this great wilderness, beautiful wilderness. But I will look toward this one, to the humbled one, and to the contrite of spirit, even trembling at my word. He who slaughters, we'll stop there, right? And we are here, enjoying Yahweh's creation. And all of these things Yahweh created, so we don't create anything in this world. It's all Yahweh's power. And Daniel 10:12 shows that humility is a prerequisite for salvation. Daniel 10:12. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your Elohim, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Humility, the footnote says, humility is a prerequisite for Yahweh's presence in our life. Because that's it. That's the example of Yeshua and Yahweh, the humility, the echad, the echadness that they have. And again, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to a humble. Then we need to submit to Yahweh for us to resist the devil. And we know in 1 John, it's always, it's over and over, we heard this, that the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is in this world. It's not from Yahweh. We'll go Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, another letter of Apostle Paul for keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, which we can only do if we remove pride in ourselves for the unity in the body. Then I, the prisoner of our Master, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, right? Removing pride in the for the unity in the body. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you also were called in one hope of our calling. One Yahweh family, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, the one above all and through all, and in you all, praise Yahweh. But to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Because of this, he says, having ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. But that he went up, what is except that he also first came down into the lower parts of the earth. He that came down is the same who also went up above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And indeed, he has assigned some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried about by every wind of false doctrine of men. A lot of this false doctrine of men. We see it. Who through their craftiness are very skillful in deceiving the people. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, the Messiah. It is through him that the whole body is closely framed together and united at all joints, according to the gift that is imparted by measure of each member for the guidance and control of the body in order to complete the edifying of the body in love. So this is powerful. So this is the example of the letter of Paul calling for unity and removing faith, because he said in all humility. Colossians 3:17 or 1 Colossians 3:1, it's the same as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved. We need to put on the bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving yourselves. And if anyone has complained against any, even at Messiah, even as Messiah forgave you, you also you forgive. And for me, this is a form of removing pride for unity, for the peace. So Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Messiah, seek the things above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things above, not on these things on the earth. For you died, and your life has been hidden with Messiah in Elohim. Whenever Messiah, our life, is revealed, then also you will be revealed with him in glory. Then put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil lusts, and covetousness. For these are idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of Yahweh is coming on the deeds of disobedience, among to whom you walked at one time when you were living in this. Yeah, we're victim of this, but not yet, because we repented from our sin. We accepted Yeshua as Messiah, our Savior. He gives us a new life, and we are a new creation. But now you also put off all these things: wrath, anger, malice, evil speaking, filthy conversations out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, having put off the old man with his practices, and put on the new life, which is renewed in knowledge after the pattern in which it was originally created. So we are originally created by Yahweh without this kind of sins, this pride. Now Yahweh is going, Yahweh is leading us going back to the original creation that we are, because that is the original setup of Yahweh. Therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving yourselves. If anyone has complained against any, even as Messiah forgive you, so also you should forgive. Sometimes you should forgive. Sometimes people not realizing that they make a mistake, they make sin, or they have done wrong, but they are not seeing it. Just easily you can forgive them if you have this humility in you. Don't wait for that man to approach you that he needs forgiveness. Just give him forgiveness, even if he is not asking you forgiveness. So we see the importance of removing pride for the unity in the body. In Hebrews 5, we will not go there, but we are under training as kings and priests. And just like Yeshua humbled himself, he came down from heaven as Most High Elohim and fulfilled his works in the earth as Son of Man, and now in Yahweh's right hand. So another book for Echad or unity, we know this, is Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Hine matub umanaim, shibet achim gamyakad. It says, behold, how good it is. A song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren living together, even in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head that ran down on the bird of Aaron's beard, going down to mouth of his garments, like the dew of Hermon coming down of the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded the blessings, life forevermore. But first, unity, and then blessings, and life forevermore. But first, we need unity. We need to be echad. So, a few more scriptures here. Psalms 50:23, it is those who are humbled and correctable and give thanks to Elohim that Yahweh will reveal Yeshua to their life. Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Whoever sacrifices thanks glorifies me, and he who determines his course of life, I will show him Yeshua. Wow. Again, it is those who are humble and correctable and give thanks to Elohim that Yahweh will reveal Yeshua to their and their life. So we need to remove pride for the unity in the body. And actually, it is a requirement of Yahweh to every man to walk humbly before Him. And since there is a requirement, all we need is to comply. Like Micah 6:8, this is the requirement. Micah 6:8. O man, He has declared to you what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you? Requirement? But to do justice. Again, all of this is a requirement, but to do, if we don't know how to do justice, then we are not complying to Yahweh's requirement to do justice and to love grace. Yeah, we need to love grace and to walk humbly with your Elohim. So this is now Yahweh is opening up our eyes and ears wide to see and to hear these very important messages that Yahweh is giving us, that Yahweh is nourishing us here in the wilderness. So how to comply? To comply is by having the fruit of Yahweh's Spirit, the Periha Ruach. After a person is being baptized in the name of Yeshua Yahweh and repented from his sins, after the laying on of hands of the true elders of Yahweh in his proper judicial order, now the person actually receives the Spirit of Yahweh, and the Holy Spirit must bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no protocol. And against such things, there is no instruction. So 1 John 2:15 and 17, John is not stating that there is no need for elders and teachers as outlined in Ephesians 4, just we read, and set up and ordained by Yeshua himself. But problem was Gnostic teachings, that one must have a secret knowledge of hidden things. That's the problem. If you don't realize that there is a proper judicial order of Yahweh, everything is chaos. Everything is chaos. We've been there. So we gotta love, because if you love, if you understand Yahweh's judicial order, it's a form of removing pride. It's a form of shining pride in our life, because we understand that in proper judicial order, it's Yahweh who set up a proper judicial order. And then we don't want to be like Peru in his pride, even though he knows that he don't have any even a small amount of power against Yahweh. He is only a man like Moshe, the servant of Yahweh. Yet because of his pride, because of his title and position, he refuses to listen to Yahweh's command until he and his army and the firstborn of Egypt was destroyed because of his pride. That is in Exodus 10. And now that Yahweh brought us here in this times, perfect time in the wilderness, Sukkot, and we know that the wilderness is simply a test of faith and obedience, just like Shemitah, just like the commandment in Yom Kippur to humble down ourselves, Yahweh wants us to humble down before Him, to remove our sins and our pride and our human nature. We read it in Deuteronomy 8 earlier. Ezekiel 11:17. Ezekiel 11:17. So Adonai Yahweh says this, I shall gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the lands in those where you were scattered, and I shall give to you the land of Israel. And they will come there, and they will remove all its hateful things and all its abominations from it. And I shall give to them one, echad, heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my statutes and in my commandments and do them, and they shall be to me for a people, and I will be to them for Elohim. And those whose heart is going after their helpful things, also their heart is after their disgusting idols, right? I mentioned earlier that idol, the first letter is I, right? We might have, we don't have any idolatry like a form of anything, but sometimes it's us, it's ourself, I. So, but the good news is, in our times today, Yahweh is showing these important things that we need to change. We need a humility to change. So, Echad heart, it says, Echad heart from Yahweh. And in Psalm 149, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people, he adorns the humble in Yeshua. It says in Psalm 149. And then Psalm 22:4, the reward of humility is the fear of Yahweh, riches, honor, and life. So Yeshua's humility conquered death. By his humility, we are reconciled to Yahweh, the Father, by what he did, offering up himself to Yahweh for our salvation. He gave us life, he gave us his life, and he washed away our sins. So that is a true example of humility and love and obedience. As true disciples of Yeshua, we need to remove pride for the unity of the body. So the best example of unity, Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son, they are Echad, John 10:30, I and the Father are one. So we just read chapter 17 of John, and it's the prayer of Yeshua. Maybe we'll read that, because this is the last book that we are going to read, John 17. John 17. John 17:1. Yeshua spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And you gave to him authority over all flesh, so that all which you gave to him, he may give to them everlasting life. And this is everlasting life, that they may know you, the Elohim of truth, and Yeshua Messiah, whom you have sent. So clearly divines the unity between the Father and the Son. They are Echad, united in thought, purpose, and mind, but clearly two separate beings, both with an individual will that has been fully submitted to each other in love and harmony, such as should be between a husband and wife. Although it is hard for humans to understand of such a relationship, as humans are inherently selfish and can't grasp reality of such union. But now, because we have the Spirit of Yahweh, we can do all things. We can remove this pride in our life. If we continue in 11, and I no longer I am in the world, yet these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you gave to me, that they may be Echad, they may be united, as we are Echad. While I was in them, in the world, I kept them in your name. I guarded those who you gave to me, and not one of them was lost, praise Yahweh, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and I speak these things in the world, that they may have my joy being fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And I fear for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may also be sanctified by truth. And I do not pray concerning this only, but concerning those who will believe me in me through their word, that all may be Echad, as you are in me, Father, I in you, that they also may be Echad in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and I have given them glory which you have given to me, that they may be Echad, as we are Echad. So, removing pride for the unity in the body. So, Yahweh is a family name consisting of Yah, Yahweh the Father, and Yeshua, Yahweh the Son. This is in lesson 3, the points there. Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son are two separate beings, but Echad, that is the example of being Echad. We are baptized and receive Yahweh's Spirit, so we become literal children of Yahweh. And we know our destiny in Yahweh. As in eternity, we will be ruling with our Savior Yeshua. And in lesson 20, the point number 5 there, that the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit as the Spirit of Yeshua. Yahweh and Yeshua are the two separate beings, but both are filled 100% of the Spirit of holiness. That is why they have the same mindset and thought pattern and love purpose. It is the indwelling Yahweh's Holy Spirit that makes them Echad. So He gives us Holy Spirit, and we should be also Echad by removing humility. So I have been removing pride, putting humility for the unity in the body. So.